here.
I tested it already.
All right. And we'll just... What's that for, Dad?
The coffee.
Oh, okay. All right, it's going. So...
What's the date today? Might as well be official.
25th.
25th of...
May.
Of May 1987. Okay, interview number one with Mr. J. Martin.
J.W.
J.W. Martin. Okay, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about the ship, the experiences of the ship.
The what?
The ship that you were on.
Yeah, called the Langley.
The Langley, right. And starting, I guess, from... Where do we want to start from? From the point of attack, or...?
Well, how did you get onto the Langley to begin with?
When I first arrived in the Philippines, shortly before Thanksgiving in 1941, having been assigned to the Asiatic Fleet, I got specific orders then to report to the Langley, which is on the island of Mindanao.
Mindanao.
And so I went down to Mindanao, flew down, and received my orders and received my duties as assistant supply and dispersing officer.
About what date would that have been?
Oh, approximately Thanksgiving, 1941.
Okay. And what happened after that?
Well, the ship took off from Mindanao and went back to Luzon, Manila Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And we stayed in Manila Harbor until December 8th, as it was out there, when we were aware that the war started. I was made aware of it in a strange way. A young guy, an ensign like myself, came up to my bunk room. I had a stateroom, actually. And said, "Hey, the Japs have bombed Pearl Harbor." I'd been in the Navy so little time, I really didn't recognize Pearl Harbor. I thought maybe they'd bombed the British somewhere off Singapore. Then it came to me, and I said, "Pearl Harbor!" And I said, "Yep." And we were in Manila Harbor, so we immediately took on supplies, working day and night, and then took off for, to me, destination unknown.
Mm-hmm.
We got underway, and we went south. Finally ended up in Surabaya, an island that's part of the Celebes, where we took on a lot of meat. I remember the meat particularly because I was, it was my job to bring it on board.
Hmm.
Your job to haul it on board?
Well, not personally, no.
Just make sure it was...
Made sure it was on board, it was ordered, I'd order it, pay for it, get it on board. I'm sure there were other things too, but that I remember particularly. Then we took off and went down to Darwin, Australia. Very cautious about the submarine. At one point we fired at a planet. Somebody saw a thing up there, it looked like a plane to him. The order was given to open fire. We opened fire, we had this old merchant marine lieutenant commander on board who was a navigator. He says, "Well, they can fire forever, they're not going to hit it." So we finally stopped firing, went down to Darwin. And down there we were just observing as we were. That was our mission, to be a ship that carried planes. And the planes were seaplanes, mostly, or amphibians.
Your ship was a ship that carried seaplanes?
Yes.
Well,
some seaplanes, and then there were some amphibians, as I say.
What is the type of ship? What is it called? The Langley.
Well, it was the first carrier.
Oh, yeah.
And at this time, it was a seaplane tender.
What's a seaplane?
A plane that lands in the ocean.
Oh, sea. Oh. Mm-hmm. I thought we were talking sea. Okay.
So what do you want now?
And what happened next?
Well, we stayed in Langley. We stayed in Darwin for quite a while, several weeks. Then we were ordered down to Adelaide, which is the port of Perth, Australia, on the west coast of Australia, the biggest city around.
What date would that have been about?
Early February.
Okay.
Then the reason we'd gone down there, of course, people generally, including myself, didn't know it. The reason we'd gone down there would be to load P-40s. And the idea was, the war, of course, had started, and we were getting whipped badly by the Japanese. And these P-40s had come out. I think there were 43 of them. And they'd come out and land in Australia, and our job was to take them and put them on board and carry them down back to Surabaya. So we, of course, there was an airport. So we started out accompanied by a merchant ship. All of a sudden we found ourselves all alone on the ocean. And then we saw the plane, heard them, saw them. They were dive bombers. Mm. And they came in and bombed the ship. And ultimately, Sprunger held so much that she had a bad list. The captain said, abandon ship. So we abandoned ship, and they're standing by. We were two destroyers, the Edsel and the Whipple. All of us who were not the pilots of the Air Force plane, that was Army then, of course. The planes were lost, obviously. Went aboard the Edsel. The Langley survivors went aboard the Whipple. Whipple took us down to a place called Christmas Island. There are two Christmas Islands, incidentally, this being one in the Java Sea. Went down to Christmas Island and transferred by regular ship's boats to an empty tanker called the Pecos, P-E-C-O-S. And as soon as this was completed, we got underway immediately to get out of there because we were a standing target for submarines and other planes. And we started down towards Perth, back to Perth, Adelaide and Perth. We started back and we'd gone perhaps a day. Anyway, the day I'm talking about was February 27th, 1942. The dive bombers came down and bombed us until it was an empty tanker and hard to sink because its oil compartments were loaded with air. But they kept going for 4 hours or so. And ultimately, the ship sank. This plane sank. And so we were back not in lifeboats this time, we were in the ocean. But the Whipple came by again. It was accompanying us, it didn't come by. It picked us up and started to take us then on the Whipple down to Perth. Of course, we had no ship now, we were just supernumeraries. We had nothing to do. And while we were on the Pecos, sort of an incident, an interesting little story I remember. We were just sitting there. We had no battle stations or anything else. We just came aboard as passengers. We had nowhere to go.
On the Pecos.
On the Pecos, right. That's before the second time the Whipple picked us up. So we, or I at least, got under a dining room table. No security there, but, you know, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what to do. You have nothing to do. While there, I said, gee, I got this money. What am I going to do with it? I think I'll give it to the U.S. Post Office. They always get through. So I took the money, put it in an envelope, addressed it to myself, went over to the mailbox post office on the ship, little thing, dropped the mail in, said, now it's safe. And went about my business.
You were afraid of losing it.
Yeah, I was afraid of losing it. And people, well, it was personal money, you know. People started going over the side after a couple of hours of bombing. They decided to abandon ship. The captain put out the word, do not abandon ship. Some people heard that as do abandon ship. Anyway, people were going floating in the ocean with tables and anything that would float to see what they could rest on. I stayed right where I was. And I stayed there until the ship itself went down. The Whipple was standing by. And we went over to the Whipple by boat again, well, by swimming this time. Let me go back a little bit. When we abandoned the Langley, I took all my money. I was a disbursing officer. I had several hundred thousand dollars. I had Philippine pesos, U.S. dollars, Australian money, perhaps others. And I took it with me in a money bag and a pillowcase. And when I started to get close to the Whipple, I was just too much. I dropped it. The water was floating all over the ocean. It's only much later that I learned that some of the sailors had found some of it, picked it up, taken it home, and spent it.
So all this money was just drifting everywhere.
Yeah, but it's a big ocean, you know. It's just so far apart. Anyway, that's just an addition there. So now we were on board the Pecos, about to sink. It does sink. We get out, and there was no ship accompanying us. I said there was. We're all alone. Just the survivors. Nobody knew how many at that point, of course. And we floated in the ocean for about 4 hours. And I was in terrific physical shape in those days, but I got really exhausted. And finally, the Edsel came near us. I, with, of course, everybody that survived, got over to the Edsel. Were helped aboard principally because I was too weak to get aboard. Got aboard and went down to the wardroom, had some coffee, and they gave us some fresh clothes, and or gave us something. I don't remember what it was, you know. They were prepared to take on board a heck of a lot more people than their whole crew. So then we... And the ship was very concerned because of the ship presence. They could detect Japanese submarines. But we got underway. Finally, they had to stop picking up people at a point. And the rest were abandoned at sea, obviously died.
Why, there just wasn't enough, there wasn't enough room or...
No, enough time.
They were afraid to get
afraid of the
sunk.
Japanese subs.
No.
So then we went down to Perth, Fremantle, Australia, and that was the end of the end of the trip.
Mm-hmm.
So that date, incidentally, that the Pecos said was March the 1st. So there was 27th, the Langley sinks, 28th, the end of February, we just beat it like hell. On March 1st, we were bombed
mm-hmm.
by dive bombers. Now, I made one error before. The Langley was not sunk by dive bombers. It was sunk by high-level bombers.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have the dive bomber.
I see.
Did you ever get your money back?
No.
That you mailed?
No, went down with the ship, of course.
Oh, yeah.
I thought they might have rescued the ship.
The ship is still probably still at the bottom of the Indian Ocean.
Yeah, mm. Along with your money. Okay, let's go back to the Langley. Where were you when the high-level bombers started bombing the ship? And what were the immediate experiences?
My battle position on board was a encoder-decoder. And I was up on the bridge. Mm. Waiting for messages to encode and decode. I don't remember we got any or sent any. As we were firing what we had, we had a very weak ship. We were firing what we had, 3-inch guns. They didn't even deter these guys.
You were at this position when the bombers came, or
yeah,
you were there?
Well, before they came, you know, we had an alert.
Oh, I see. You had an alert, so you left your bunk, or?
Well, no, it was daytime.
Oh, you were out on deck?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what I was doing. I was a dispersing officer. I was probably in my office.
Mm-hmm.
And, but when the bombers came, I remember they hit the ship. I remember going down in the wardroom, what my logic was, I don't know, and seeing one guy horribly mangled. And that's all. And then getting my money down to my office, calling to the captain, said, "Should I take my money?" He said, "It's your money, it's your job." And I did. I took the money. I should have let it go, of course.
Mm-hmm. How many times were you hit? The ship was hit.
I really don't know, 4 or 5. Most of the thing that really sank the Langley, though, was the near misses.
Oh.
It was an old ship.
It just started breaking it apart.
It had been a collier.
Mm-hmm.
Carried coal, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
They converted it to a carrier. And it was quite old. And the seams just burst.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Were you able to see any of the damage of the bombs, that the bombs did before it went down?
Able to do what?
To see any of the damage that the bombs
sure.
had done?
Sure.
Well, can you describe the scene?
Well, just where a bomb had hit, there was no passing, of course, and there was a big hole right down to the bottom of the ship, practically. Because a collier used to have great big containers to carry coal, whereas the Pecos I described could take a lot of bombing. The Langley couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember the scene too well. It was just damaged, things blown apart, but you're too busy to observe scenes.
Were there men wounded lying about?
Or sure.
There were a lot,
sure,
a lot of
dead,
sailors.
Wounded, or here and there, not a lot that I saw, but they were there.
Yeah.
At a total sub, when we finally got back to Fremantle, Perth, Australia, I use the two names there because Perth is a city and Fremantle a port, we'd lost 2/3 or more of our people.
Wow. What would be the total amount on that, 2,000?
I don't remember, but it was huge.
Yeah, quite a few.
Hmm.
Now,
You took the money just because you felt it was your responsibility to take the money?
I didn't know what to do with it. You see, I'd never practiced with this one.
Hmm. Yeah. And there were a lot of coins as well as...
No, no coins.
No coins, just bills.
Just
lots of bills.
Bills of all kinds, not dollars. I told you there were Australian pounds, Philippine pesos.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Shirobayan, whatever they had. Javanese it was in those days. It was Dutch East Indies, as a matter of fact, whatever they had. Tommy Gilders.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Now, during this time, did you see any of your friends and
Oh, sure.
Wondering about them, and were they all right?
I didn't wonder about them, no, particularly. They were trying to take care of themselves. I was trying to take care of myself. Mm-hmm. But they came up to me, several of them, and said, let's get off this thing. So I said, no way.
This is the Langley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, this is the, not the Langley. No, no, the Langley, there wasn't any question of getting off. We were busily engaged, but while we were in the Pecos, they said, hey, let's go. And they took, I know one guy said, I got the dining room table. Big, big thing. We would get another one. But he got off and this was lost at sea.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Now, when the Langley was going down, did you hear the captain over the intercom say to abandon ship, or was it just obvious that you had to get off?
No, he said, at a point, I don't remember how I heard it. I doubt the intercom was working.
Hmm. And then you all got into lifeboats?
No, no, there were very few lifeboats.
Oh.
Very few lifeboats aboard a Navy ship.
Mm-hmm.
The wounded got in the lifeboat, the rest of us just got in the ocean. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I guess you got one there.
I've got to get another wastebasket over here.
Yeah. You could use it.
Did you all get on board the deck, the flight deck, and then jump off there?
Well, I got on the main deck, I know, myself.
Uh-huh.
And the thing was listed badly, so it's almost a case of walking into the ocean.
Oh, I see.
Now, whereas on the Pecos, the ship, when she went down, she badly wounded. But I had to dive, and I wasn't in a hurry to get off the Pecos. I thought it was safer there than anywhere else. And all of a sudden, she gave a bad list. I dived a long distance, 40 feet maybe, into the ocean.
Oh, boy.
And swam like hell to get out of there, because when a ship goes down, it has a suction.
Mm-hmm. Sucks water in.
I wanted to obviously avoid the suction, so I swam like hell and got up and looked up like this, right straight up almost. You could see the ship on end going down.
Well, you were right next to it.
Well, very close. Probably the closest of anybody.
It was smart of you, Dad, to know that it was going to have that suction and you better get out of there.
Well, I don't know. Smart of me or somebody told me or where I got it.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have known that.
Now, with the Langley, you all jumped in the water.
That's the Langley.
I'm trying to cover one thing first, then go on. You all jumped in the water. Did you have life jackets on at that time, most of you?
Yeah.
Okay.
They walked in.
Well, were people trying to get a hold of the wounded and get them on board boats? And
well, the wounded were, as I told you, from the Langley were... those that they salvaged, and I don't know what this is, what number or percentage, were put in the lifeboats. It was just a few lifeboats.
Yeah. I see. And then, all of you were in the water. And how long did it take for the ship to go down after you were in the water?
Well, it's a little bit controversial. The ship was in, the Langley was still there, floating with a bad list, and the captain of the destroyer, the Edsel, the Whipple rather, fired a torpedo at it, and that's presumably what sunk it. We got out of there, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
There's another interesting part of that story. Remember I told you the Langley survivors went to the Edsel. The Air Force survivors, there was one more, there must have been 44 of them, one more in a row of planes, went to the Edsel. A little bit later, after we'd cleared the area, and a little bit being half an hour or no more, weird sounds of gunfire. And after the war, I learned that the Edsel had been sunk by a Japanese ship. Mm. And the few people who were rescued were taken to a prison camp on Java, treated horribly, and only one or two survived.
Wow.
You said there were gunshots. You mean you heard gunshots from the Edsel?
Oh, yeah.
At that time?
At the Edsel.
Well, not on the Edsel. We heard them on the Whipple.
Yeah, you were on the Whipple.
Yeah, on the Edsel. We didn't know what was happening. Apparently, I don't think we know for sure to this day, but the Edsel was sunk by a Japanese cruiser.
So that was almost soon after you were all picked up.
Beg pardon?
That was soon after all of you were picked up.
Yes, very soon.
Hmm. So the Air Force survivors went to the Edsel, and the Langley survivors went to the Whipple?
Yeah.
Hmm. Were there any Edsel survivors at all?
I think there may have been one.
Oh, yeah?
Hmm. After they went to the prison camp.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then...
Well, I understand the Japs didn't pick up very many, you know, to hell with them.
Yeah.
Let them float and die.
Hmm.
Hmm.
So you were... I'm not sure if you told me or not, I don't remember, but how long were you in the water before it sank? You didn't see it sink?
Which ship?
The Langley.
Oh, I don't know. An hour, maybe, no more.
Uh-huh. And then how long was it before you were picked up?
We were picked up by the ship. We went over to the Whipple was standing by, and we went over to it.
Oh, you just swam over to it?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Were there any sailors that they had to just leave in the water at that time?
Not that I know of.
They picked up everybody.
As far as I recall.
Mm-hmm. What was the scene like in the water? You saw a lot of heads bobbing around and debris?
You just described the scene.
Yeah. Heads and debris.
Yeah.
And money.
Yeah.
Okay. Would there have been any of the dead floating around at this time too, or would they have just gone down with the ship?
I wouldn't know.
It would be hard to know.
Yeah.
Okay, then the Whipple picked you up, where you swam over to the Whipple and they picked you up. And how long after that was... then you were transferred to the Pecos.
Yeah.
How long were you on the Whipple?
Don't recall precisely, but probably until the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
This action had to take place on the 27th, probably the 28th, early in the morning, very early.
Mm-hmm. And then how long were you on the Pecos before...
One day.
One day.
I got a question.
Now, can you describe the events when the dive bombers, the Jap dive bombers, were coming down on the Pecos? What was the first thing that you noticed that you were in the middle of a battle again?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, how long were you on the Pecos before this happened? Did we get that?
Well, it was probably... we just got on board a few hours.
Just a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
Boy. Okay.
Then describe the events for us.
Describe what?
The events for us as to... how you knew you were in battle again, or what exactly happened stage by stage.
Well, I didn't tell you it was battle, because you hear the bombs and see the splashes. And
you saw that from the deck?
Sure. I was almost on deck, you see. I was wherever I wanted to be, but it was principally on the main deck and in the wardroom.
Mm-hmm. Were these the Jap Zeros that were dive-bombing you?
Oh, I wouldn't know that.
Okay. And then what happened?
Yeah.
What happened then?
Well, nothing particularly. They bombed the ship long enough so that it sank.
Yeah. What was going on? Were there men running about? What scenes did you see?
If you're a crew member of the Pecos, you had your job. If you're not a crew member, you did as your damn well pleased. Mm-hmm. And I told you before, I didn't do much of anything. I hid under the library table, or the wardroom table.
Mm-hmm. So you went into the ship and got under the table.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Were you the only one under there? Were other people under the tables too?
And the bombs would hit, and the ship would be shaken?
Yeah, the ship would shake and list, lose speed.
Did you think you were going to make it at that point, or?
I didn't think about that. Only time I thought about it was when I was in the water for the 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, guess I'm going to die. Had I lived, I'd probably married and had some kids. That's all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, how long were you under attack on the Pecos?
Oh, I'd say about 4 hours ago.
Oh, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Long time.
Well, they had no opposition.
Yeah. Hmm. And when did you come back up on deck again?
Well, when I thought it was time to consider getting off the ship.
Mm-hmm. When it was listing pretty badly.
Yeah. Another thing I did there in the Pecos, while I was a non-combat officer, a supply officer, when most of the ship had been abandoned, I hadn't left. I went up and saw the abandoned machine guns and one guy firing them. There were two guns, so I went up to help him and just pull the trigger. Aim and pull the trigger, so I did.
Oh, yeah?
And as the dive bombers came in.
Mm-hmm. So you were shooting at the dive bombers as they were coming in?
Yeah, but the ship had gone by this time.
Yeah, there was no hope
by
that time. Did you hit anything?
Oh, I wouldn't know.
That's funny, Dad. You didn't have any training in that either, did you? Or
none at all. Never fired a machine gun before or since.
What made you just stay on board and figure out what to do?
Instinct.
Yeah. It was just better to stay on board, you thought, huh?
Abandon and get out and out with all the, they'd been dropping off for 2 hours, and I decided to wait till the last.
Mm, I see. Okay. Now, toward the end there, you thought that the ship was going to go down. You thought you better get off.
Yeah.
Is that right? About how many other men were there around? Do you have any idea at all?
None, as far as I know. There were some, but I didn't know they were there.
Just a handful, maybe.
Yeah.
The other guy who was shooting the guns, he was one of them.
Yeah, I don't think he got off, but I don't think he survived.
Oh, yeah?
Hmm.
He was the exact number two man on the Pecos.
Hmm. And then...
You could have hit something. Possibly.
Well, who knows?
Yeah. But you didn't see anything go down, so it's not like you knew.
Now, when you decided to jump off, where did you go on board the ship to jump?
He dived.
Right. Well, I was on off the main deck and it had a bad list, as I told you.
Mm-hmm.
And I went towards the side of, away from the lift, and was high on the deck, high on the side of the ship.
Would that have been port or starboard, do you remember?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
So I decided to go, and I just dove, and hit the water, of course, went down a long ways, got up and swam like hell.
Mm-hmm. And then you looked up and you saw the bow of the ship?
Yeah, well, I don't know whether it went bow first or stern first. But
okay, well, it was up in the air and
up in the air.
Going
the
down.
The ship was right straight up and down.
Oh, yeah. But there weren't a whole lot of other men around you at that time.
Not at that point.
With the Langley, there were a lot of people around you, but at this point there wasn't any.
Not many. There were some.
Now you're floating in the water again. Did you have a life jacket on?
Sure.
And now you're in the water for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Now, what was your reaction when you saw a ship bearing down on you?
You mean the Whipple?
In the Whipple, yeah.
Well, obviously, you're pleased.
Yeah.
You wonder how to get over there.
And are you wondering whether they're seeing you or not?
Well, you don't. They aren't seeing individuals.
Mm-hmm. They just see groups of people, maybe.
Yeah.
So there was a clump of you floating around there.
Yeah.
Did you try to stay together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were talking with each other?
Yeah.
Would you be encouraging each other on? Or
no, I don't think so.
Cracking jokes? Or?
Sure.
Wondering how you can stay afloat and feeling weaker by the second.
Yeah.
Just weaker mainly because of everything that you have been through in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
Not actually the fact that you're floating there. That wouldn't make you weak, would it?
I think so.
Yeah?
You're sort of treading water a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think probably. And now, how many... The ship comes up, and how did you get on board the ship?
I swam to it, and then some sailors on board the ship put down ropes and came down themselves and helped me board.
Mm-hmm. And then they pulled the ropes up? Or
yeah. Well, whatever they did, I know they had ropes. I think they came down personally and got me under the armpits and pulled me up.
So I want to get back to your being in the water for 4 hours. You would have been treading water with that life jacket on?
Oh, sure.
Yeah?
Well, you're in an ocean, Joe. It's not like anything else I know of. A lot of waves, a lot of wind.
Hmm. So even with the life jacket on, it's a little bit difficult to find air.
Yeah, that's right.
And feel comfortable.
Well, you can swallow a lot of seawater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were the people around you people that you had known from the Langley at that point?
Oh, probably. I know the one guy closest to me and nearest and with whom I shared a log or something was a warrant officer aboard the Langley. We got together to the Whipple. It's the second time, of course. And I was pulled and helped aboard. Look for him. He never made it.
Mm.
Even though he was floating in the water for you all, with you all that time.
That's right.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
You don't know why.
How many people did they pick up?
That I don't know either.
But they couldn't pick up very many because if people had been jumping off the ship for 2 hours, they were scattered all over the ocean.
Oh, sure. As I told you, there were 2/3 of that crew were lost.
Yeah. Of the Pecos?
No, of the Langley.
Oh, the Langley.
I don't know how many of the Pecos were lost.
Uh-huh.
But you actually had to sort of swim to the Whipple the second time.
Yeah, sure.
And so this guy probably didn't make it because he just didn't have the strength to swim.
Well, he swam. We went over together. We were alongside the Whipple together, opposite ends of a log.
Oh, opposite ends of a log.
Or something. I don't know. It floated anyway.
And for some reason they just didn't pick him up.
Well, who knows? Maybe he was too weak to even get any closer. I don't know.
Mm.
It's every man for himself under those circumstances.
Sure.
I can always fill you in anything you want to know, you know, after you get this.
Well, we'll transcribe this, and then you can look it over and see if we got everything correct and we understood everything. Do you have any other questions?
Well, let me think a minute. Go ahead if you have something.
Just one thing for clarification. With the Langley, as far as you knew, that everybody was picked up who was in the water on the Langley?
I wouldn't know that.
But
as far as I know, yes. But
with the Pecos, that wouldn't have been the case because
they didn't pick them all up.
They were scattered and they were afraid of submarines.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. And do you have any idea how many people they picked up in the Pecos?
I think I've said no.
You don't? Okay.
I don't know how many were aboard the Pecos in the first place.
Right. And you don't know how many survivors were there either?
No idea.
How long did it take for you to get another ship?
Can you get your leg around there, Dad?
Okay.
Can you make it with your leg?
Well, from there I went back to SS Mount Vernon. I went back to San Francisco. Was ordered to Port Angeles, Washington. Went up there to the Anti-Aircraft Training School. And, so that was my next assignment. It wasn't a ship.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a very early action in the war. You know.
Yeah, it's one of the first actions in the war.
How old were you at the time?
Pardon?
How old were you?
We'll say 41, 24.
During this time, did you lose any good friends off the Langley? I mean, people that you had maybe known through, what do you call it, you call it boot camp in the Navy? Or you were an officer at the time. But anyway, were there people that you had known very well that went down with the Langley?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Well, not very well. I didn't know anybody very well.
Acquaintances, anyway.
Well, a lot of them.
I can answer the questions, okay? Asking leading questions.
And what did you do for the rest of the war?
Well, I went from the Port Angeles, Washington, Anti-Aircraft Training School. They moved to school, and I went to Pacific Beach, Washington, same job. Assistant supply. I guess up there I was supply and dispersing officer. Then I was ordered to Naval Ammunition Depot, Oahu, and from there to Washington, D.C. So that was my total at sea afloat of experience during World War II.
And you say during that time, the 4 hours in the water, you were thinking this is it, and if you'd lived, you would have had a family. Were you thinking anything else during that time?
No. I don't know. That's all I recall.
What was your job in Washington?
A budget officer. In the Bureau of Ordnance.
Bureau of Ordnance.
That's where you met Mom.
Yeah, but that was 45 and I met her, I don't know when. 48, probably.
Okay.
Okay.
I think that's all for this time.
Well, you'll fill them in and then need more. Just ask them.
Okay.
Good.